The Crude Life with host Jason Spiess.
I never let the Joker out my sight. Never went broke on an all or nothing. Never made a bet so out of line till I met you and I hit the ground running. And I must say, I've never seen so much weakness in one place. It was a 20-inch bicep with no strength, cause you've been wrapping it around.
Welcome to the Crude Life Week in Review. My name is Jason Spiess. Thank you, folks, for joining us this week. 10 years the Crude Life has been around, folks. Thank you very much for making the Crude Life the most trusted source for information out there today in oil and gas and energy as well. My name is Jason Spiess. I'll be your host this week. We've got a fantastic show in store for you. We're going to start down in Louisiana with the gentleman, the doctor, the man himself, who writes the economic forecast for the entire state of Louisiana. It was just released last week. Louisiana is a very big oil and gas state, whether it be from Lake Charles, where they have all kinds of petrochemical manufacturing happening down there with the imports and exports, but also offshore and onshore drilling as well. Louisiana update in just a moment or two. And bonus, folks, Dr. Lauren Scott, he's a heavyweight in the industry. So not only is he going to give us an update down in Louisiana, but he's also going to give us an update for the globe. Dr. Scott is one of the premier minds when it comes to economic activity with oil and gas, from OPEC to Nord Stream 2 to the workforce happening. In fact, he was right here on the Crude Life predicting supply chain issues 9 months before the rest of the world started talking about it. So folks, stick around. In just about 30 seconds, we're going to have Dr. Lauren Scott. Plus, we're going to head out to the Marcellus, talk to Joe Sinnott, get an update out there, and much, much more. We'll even head down to the Permian today, maybe the Rocky Mountain region. I'm getting a nod from the producer with a thumbs up. Folks, you are not going to want to miss today's show. We've got 40 pounds of potatoes in a 10-pound sack. We better get right to Dr. Lauren C. Scott.
The Crude Life with host Jason Spiess.
Dr. Lauren C. Scott on the line with us here. He's with Lauren C. Scott and Associates, a consulting firm out of Louisiana. Of course, he also does some economic work for Louisiana State University. Professor Emeritus, is that how we pronounce it?
That's right. Emeritus is an old Latin phrase that means small interior office.
Ah, I see. I see. I thought it was Latin for place to hang hat. I wasn't sure. So, well, let's talk about the economic outlook for Louisiana in just a moment here. I know you are a part of that, but hey, lots going on in the last week in oil and gas. You know, we've got the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. We've got OPEC. We've got Saudi Arabia. We've got China. We've got Russia. Let's just you start wherever you want to start, man, because it's a potpourri today.
Boy, it is. There is so much going on. It's kind of interesting. I was telling some people the other day about how difficult it is to forecast oil prices. It seems like every time I come out with my report and I send it to the printer to get printed up, that within the next 2 or 3 weeks, something major happens. Like last year, I sent it in. And a month, you know, I had oil prices being around $80 a barrel. And then I sent it to the printer. 2 months later, Russia invades Ukraine. And then this year, I just sent it to the printer, just getting out of the speaking circuit. And suddenly OPEC decides to take 2 million barrels off the market. So you just never know. Again, I think this is the second most difficult thing in the economy to forecast. And it is a strange world out there right now.
Historically, what happens when someone takes off 1 million or 2 million barrels?
Well, the key thing to remember is something you learned in your principles of economics class. There's so much people learn there that if they could just remember it, it'll help them figure out what's going on. And one of the things you learned was something about elasticity of demand. That basically what we'd say about oil is that the demand for oil is very inelastic. It's a very steep demand curve. And what that means is it doesn't take much of a change in supply to cause an outsized change in the price of oil. So if OPEC does take 2 million barrels of oil off the market, then you can expect the price of oil to pop up maybe from the 84 range that we had been experiencing to nearly $100 a barrel. So that can happen. Now, what's kind of interesting, Jason, is to figure out, is this really a 2 million barrel cut? Or is this a 2 million barrel cut in actual output, or is it a 2 million cut in their quotas that they've assigned to people? Most people read what they're saying is a 2 million cut in quotas. Well, if that's the case, it's not going to really be a 2 million cut in output. I know this is a little convoluted, but there are several of their member countries, especially those in Africa, that already are not meeting their quota. And there are other countries that are not meeting their quotas right now. And so what is going to happen if they say, we're going to cut our quotas by 2 million, probably the total cut in output will be like 1.2 or so. So it's going to be a smaller number, but it's still going to be enough to cause the price to change. I think most of those cuts will come from Saudis, the UAE, and Kuwait. The other people are already, they're already cut back. But we're going to see about a $1.2 million barrel cut in output.
You mentioned prices, possibly could go up. On the flip side of it, we have a strategic petroleum reserve being, being dipped into, being sold, however you want to, phrase it. How does that, first of all, what is that going to do to the market? And secondly, what does that do to the supply going into the winter?
Yeah, well, first of all, the whole idea of strategic petroleum reserve was to use it in case there's a really major emergency. Well, the reason it's being used right now is there is a major emergency looming out there, and it is the...
Dr. Lauren Scott, going to ask you to hold that thought for just a moment or two. Folks, we're going to take a brief pause. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Dr. Lauren C. Scott. My name is Jason Spies. This is the Crude Life Week in Review.
The Crude Life is sponsored in part by...
I want to take a moment to talk about sustainable savings happening at MyPillow. Of course, when you buy a MyPillow product, it is automatically sustainable because the high quality, the innovation that goes into a MyPillow product creates a wonderful night's sleep that improves your health, that keeps you from driving to the store to buy a new pillow every year because it gets flat and flumpy. Well, check out these offers from MyPillow to give you sustainable savings. The biggest bed sheet sale in MyPillow history is happening right now, and they are as low as $29.98. That's right, the Giza Dream bed sheets are on sale right now for $29.98, as well as the My Slippers $49.98. That's a $90 savings with the promo code Otis. All kinds of savings right now at MyPillow.com with the promo code Otis. Go to MyPillow.com/radio specials or call 800-598-4268. That's 800-598-4268. And use the promo code Otis for these deep, deep discounts. And if you act right now, the MyPillow itself is as low as $19.88 with the promo code Otis. Folks, you don't want to miss these savings. Start your sustainable savings right now with MyPillow and the promo code Otis.
For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in Western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
The Crude Life is sponsored in part by...
It takes an industry to build a forest. Hey folks, Jason Spies with The Crude Life. Did you know about half the trees planted in the last 20 to 30 years have died within the first year? Lack of watering, transplant shock, special interest groups, poor growing conditions are just a few reasons it takes an industry to build a forest, and that is exactly what the industrial forest does. Sustainability sheds, critical pipeline systems are implemented to ensure the forest survives and absorbs carbon for decades to come. It takes an industry to build a forest. If you're interested in sustainable forests, growing industry jobs, check out theindustrialforest.com. That's theindustrialforest.com.
The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
There's a lot of people running their mouth that don't stay the night, never come through town. And some other people running about that don't take the time to suss you out.
Welcome back to the Crude Life Week in Review. My name is Jason Spies. Thank you, folks, for joining us. We're going to continue the conversation with energy and economic expert, Dr. Lauren C. Scott.
To use it in case there's a really major emergency. Well, the reason it's being used right now is there is a major emergency looming out there, and it is the November elections. That's the emergency, because you would be stunned to see how much people vote depending on what the price is at the pump. And so one of the ways that as a result of the Russia-Ukraine bump that went up, one of the ways that the president responded was by taking oil out of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Since last March, it's averaged about 860,000 barrels a day. So it's a lot. Matter of fact, he's driven the SPR down to about where it was in 1983. And what that means now is that in the face of the OPEC cuts now, he really doesn't have that tool to use. He really can't drive it down that much further, I don't think. There's just not enough of it there. There are rules how much you could take out. So it's not going to be a tool that he's going to be able to use very well going forward. So I think the result is that we're going to see some price bump. And we've already seen a bit of a price bump. And we haven't even got to the cut yet. I think they take place in November. So I don't know. I don't think the SPR is going to be a very useful tool going forward.
A couple things I wrote in my notes here: 1983 and the supply reserve. The first one is, I've always been told that the United States really only has a day or two of energy storage on backup and maybe 30 days supply of petroleum. What's going on with that? Like I said, going into the wintertime, Chicago last year, boy, they were on the brink of becoming California last year on the grid.
Well, I think their issue there is more natural gas, I think, than oil. I have to look, sure. I'm not that familiar, but they're more a natural gas issue. I mean, this is going to be an interesting winter, Jason, because when Russia invaded the Ukraine, this really messed up the market for energy, especially in Europe. Now, what your listeners have to understand is that Europe is probably the continent in the world that went whole hog into the green thing. They outlawed fracking. They want to keep fossil fuels in the ground, and they switched heavily to solar and to wind. Now they're getting ready, and what they were doing is they were having, because they outlawed fracking, they were having to rely on Russia for about 45% of their natural gas that they use. Well, now, of course, the Nord Stream 2 pipeline has been sabotaged. Before that, Putin was turning it on, turning it off, turning it on, turning it off. Saying it was for maintenance purposes, but in reality, he was just showing Europe, you start providing, support of any kind, political and or military, to the Ukraine, watch what we can do to you. And so what has happened is the price of natural gas in Europe this past September was $71 per million BTU, okay, because there was such a shortage of it over there. Compare that to $7 here in the United States. Well, I mean, so now we're going into the winter with a shortage of natural gas. And the Europeans are going to have to do one of two things. They're going to either have to let their people freeze, or they're going to take all the natural gas they can away from industry and use it to heat homes, which means you're going to have to shut down industry. And if you go to Ludwigshafen, the BASF plant in Ludwigshafen, Germany, There are 39,000 people in Point that's out. There's 200 plants in that one site. And they're talking about shutting that sucker down for the winter. You think 39,000 people are going to lose their jobs. So, and this is going to be a very cold winter. Remember, a lot of people think Europe's about on the line with Dallas or maybe Atlanta. Europe is on line with Toronto. They're even higher up than you guys are there in North Dakota. Mm-hmm. It's going to get cold there. And so, Jason, the key point here is that the Europeans are about to learn what happens when you go whole hog into renewables and you give up fossil fuels. And I think that the general public over there is going to say, what the hell have we been doing? This is stupid. We've got natural gas under us. Let's drill for the dadgum natural gas. We'd rather have that than freeze to death. Okay, so I think you're going to see a major shift in people's attitudes towards fossil fuels after this winter, because you're going to have people freezing in Europe. You're going to find industries going in the tank in Europe. And by the way, among those industries going in the tank are the ammonia fertilizer people. Okay, they make ammonia fertilizer out of natural gas in Europe. And there's going to be a lot of ammonia fertilizer that's not going to be produced in Europe this coming winter. And as a result, guess what else is going to happen? It's going to follow. You're going to have food famine issues, again, especially in Africa. But it's going to be all over the place. And so I just think this is going to end up being a disastrous winter for them. And it's going to spread all over the place. And suddenly, I think you're going to see a change of people's attitudes towards fossil fuels.
Nord Stream, you mentioned the the pipeline there. There was some saboteur happening. Fingers are being blamed. So, I mean, not only do you have the actual physical damage, but now you've got some geopolitical damage too. How's that impacting the market with the price and also with the futures?
Yeah, well, the main thing it's impacting is the price of natural gas and the availability of natural gas. It's just compounding Europe's problem. It's solidifying Europe's problem going into this coming winter, because there are a number of natural gas pipelines coming into Europe from Russia, but that was kind of the key one that was feeding Germany. And, of course, Germany is the industry powerhouse in the EU. And, now they're just really faced with shutting down a lot of industry. And so what people are, Will Rogers once said that there are three kinds of people in the world. There's the people who learn by reading. They're the people who learn by observation. And then some people just have to pee on the electric fence to learn. And I don't want to mess up your radio show, but basically what's going on here is Europe has been peeing on the electric fence, and they're going to find out they're going to learn the harsh lesson this coming winter. And I think it's maybe changing people's attitudes all across the globe when they see what happens when you go whole hog into renewables and say we're not going to do any more fossil fuels.
How do you read some of the supply chain issues, whether it be from the food side of things or from the oil and gas, getting things out to the market side?
Well, I think the key thing is that when you have a country like Canada or Sri Lanka, for example, that says, we're not going to use ammonia fertilizers anymore. We're not going to use pesticides anymore. Basically, what they're doing is peeing on the electric fence. Okay, it only takes 1 year to learn your lesson on that, because the next year your crop output is so much lower.
To listen to the full-length interview with Dr. Lauren C. Scott or to check out other exclusive interviews, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is The Crude Life Week in Review.
I really would have been a good wife, but keep singing my praise, singing a magic.
Have a question? Know an expert? Or just want your voice heard? Email studio@thecrudelife.com.
The minute I found you.
The Crude Life is sponsored in part by...
I want to take a moment to talk about sustainable savings happening at MyPillow. Of course, when you buy a MyPillow product, it is automatically sustainable because the high quality, the innovation that goes into a MyPillow product... creates a wonderful night's sleep that improves your health, that keeps you from driving to the store to buy a new pillow every year because it gets flat and flumpy. Well, check out these offers from MyPillow to give you sustainable savings. The biggest bed sheet sale in MyPillow history is happening right now, and they are as low as $29.98. That's right, the Giza Dream bed sheets are on sale right now for $29.98, as well as the My Slippers $49.98. That's a $90 savings with the promo code Otis. All kinds of savings right now at MyPillow.com with the promo code Otis. Go to MyPillow.com/radio specials or call 800-598-4268. That's 800-598-4268. Start your sustainable savings right now with MyPillow and the promo code
For more
Otis.
Than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in Western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
The Crude Life is sponsored in part by
It Takes an Industry to Build a Forest. Hey folks, Jason Spies with The Crude Life. Did you know about half the trees planted in the last 20 to 30 years have died within the first year? Lack of watering, transplant shock, special interest groups, poor growing conditions are just a few reasons it takes an industry to build a forest, and that is exactly what the industrial forest does. Sustainability sheds, critical pipeline systems are implemented to ensure the forest survives and absorbs carbon for decades to come. It takes an industry to build a forest. If you're interested in sustainable forests, growing industry jobs, check out theindustrialforest.com. That's theindustrialforest.com.
The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
Yeah, I mean, that's what love is. Like, that is
Who am I that I would push back? Is that the loving thing you made a bit for me to lie in, you know?
Let's go to the Zoom line where we've got Mr. Joe Sinnott on the line. He's, of course, with Witting Partners as well as the Energy Detox Podcast. How are you doing today?
Doing fine, Jason. How about yourself?
Hey, not too bad. Glad you could join us here today. One of the topics, of course, we're back to school now. So many people are just involved in this, you know, momentum of back to school, and it doesn't even matter if you have a kid in school. So many other people do, and so there's that part of the energy, and then you've got football back, and boy, there's all kinds of new energies and new activities happening. And so I thought we'd talk a little bit about how that impacts the office today. So let's talk. How are your kids doing?
I mean, at this exact moment, there's a lot of screaming because two of them who started back last week, they had a long weekend and then an extra day off today for parent-teacher conferences. And then of the other two that were supposed to start school today, one of them is sick for the first day of school. So long story short, Jason, this is, you know, this is, as you said, you know, it's a change in season, but we haven't quite changed yet in terms of back to school. So long answer there, but they're healthy and they're being normal children at the moment. How about that?
Well, it sounds like you have about the perfect fall season, which is, you know, everybody thinks they know how it's going to go, but then reality sets in and you got a, you know, you've got a sick kid here and a flat tire here and whatever it might be. It just seems like, boy, I tell you, this fall period becomes very, very just parallel with the way business goes for a lot of people, especially during times of uncertainty and when you got to change your business plan and et cetera. What kind of advice might you have for somebody, you know, in this dynamic changing season that we have in the fall?
Well, I mean, one, acknowledge the dynamism of the changing seasons and, yeah, realize that whatever plan you have in place is, you know, very likely going to change. You know, a lot of people, I think, get stuck in their heads that, hey, this is how it's going to be, whether they realize it or not. And then, you know, they might be setting themselves up for disappointment. So, again, the first thing is, yes, acknowledge you're going to have flat tires and you know, turnovers, if you will, to bring in some football analogies. And things are not going to go as planned. But Jason, I will caveat that and say, on the other hand, you need to, you know, not give up on wanting to plan and, you know, set the stage for something bigger down the road. Because again, I think people can swing the other direction and kind of move into that sort of apathetic mindset where it doesn't really matter. You know, businesses are, they're in their planning seasons now, right? They're getting ready for 2023, but you know, are there people in their company that are saying, yeah, it doesn't matter. You know, what's going to happen anyway? Who knows what's going to happen with commodity prices, or are we going to get bought or sold or whatever? It doesn't really matter. And again, I think you need to avoid yourself kind of swinging the other direction and again, running away from plans. And, you know, and probably more importantly, make sure that other people aren't falling into that trap. So again, I think probably not an uncommon piece of advice, which is avoid the extremes, you know, keep moving forward and stay conscious of the fact that, again, things are going to change, but you're still better off having a plan that changes than trying to navigate things with no plan at all.
Went to my favorite coffee place the other day, and I walked up to the door, and it said closed. The lobby is closed because of staff shortages. So they just close the lobby and make everybody go through the drive-thru. Well, that changed my day completely because I'm not going to go through the drive-thru and wait 20 minutes in line and all these other things. And you know, we're seeing the term quiet quitting in the news, which I don't even know what that means. I know what, you know, stop showing up to work. I know what that means. And I know what not giving your 2 weeks notice means, and et cetera. So how about, you know, when we're talking about back to school, you know, some kids, they just might go back to school and maybe they don't tell their employers. I don't know. I just see this term quiet quitting in the headlines, and now we're seeing staff shortages, and boy, I tell you, these business owners, if it's not one thing, it's another.
Yeah, you're spot on there. I mean, you're spot on in terms of the fact that, yeah, if it's not one thing, it's the other. In terms of quiet quitting, I don't know, you know, if there's a universal definition of that yet. It feels like this, I don't know if it was a TikTok craze or what the heck happened, but, you know, it sounds like it's, you know, an iteration on things we've always seen, right? You know, are people lazy? Are they just going through the motions? And, you know, on the heels of what was last year's trend, the great resignation, now you have this quiet quitting trend where, again, people are going in and they're theoretically, you know, doing the minimum, or they're at least not going above and beyond. And again, there's parallels to going back to school too, right? You know, some kids are going to show up and they're going to do the minimum. Their goal is to pass, or, you know, what's the old thing? You know, D is for degree. Hey, they get their D. If that's enough to get their diploma at the end of the day, then that's enough. And, you know, yeah, we see those parallels in the working world where, sure, people are showing up to work, which, as you just said, you know, can be a challenge right now for a lot of organizations. But is that organization getting what they expected to get? But on the flip side, are the expectations that the organization has for a given employee maybe above and beyond what's in writing? So, again, a little some gray area there, right, in terms of, well, can you fault people for quiet quitting and not going above and beyond? Or does the blame, if you will, fall more on the organization, on the company, on the employer for not setting clear expectations and then holding up their end of the bargain? So, yeah, it's an interesting topic. Again, we can go down whatever rabbit hole you want because it is one that comes up. I would say in my dealings, it's not so much me dealing with people who are on the verge of quiet quitting and more dealing with people who are dealing with potential quiet quitters, if you will. But nevertheless, it is it's a real problem, even though, again, I think over the last couple weeks or last month or so, you know, people have put this new name on things, which, again, doesn't change the reality that it's been in place for, you know, decades, quite frankly, Jason.
Are they now? You're not the expert in this, I know, but in the stories you've seen or the articles that you've read, are they showing up because of money? Or are they showing up because of guilt? I guess it's so funny that they'd show up and just not work.
Well, and again, I think that's where, and again, I don't want to go too far in the weeds because this is a never-changing topic. Like I said, I don't know that there's any clear definition, but quiet quitting, as I understand it, is not necessarily showing up and not doing their job. It's showing up and doing the minimum. So some people are happy or at least content showing up to get their paycheck. So Jason, yeah, I mean, they are showing up to get their paycheck and their benefits, but they've told themselves, hey, look, you know, I am supposed to work 9 to 5. I'm going to work 9 to 5. I'm not checking my email after hours. I'm not picking up the phone. Even if I know there's something that could add value to the company, if it's outside of my job description, I'm not going to do it. And that's sort of the quiet part, right? So they're there. They might even enjoy their job, quite frankly, but they don't think there's value in them going above and beyond for themselves. And that's, again, that's tricky because there's obviously a school of thought which says, well, great, you know, this 2022, everybody's all about self-care, right? And taking care of yourself and making sure you set clear boundaries. So again, you can't necessarily fault them for that. But of course, the question is it short-sighted?
To listen to the full-length interview, check out the website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Don't go anywhere, folks. We have more exclusive interviews and content coming right around the corner. My name is Jason Spies, and this is The Crude Life Week in Review.
Have a question? Know an expert? Or just want your voice heard? Email studio at thecrudelife.com. So what you doing? Calling me at midnight. I've done nothing but giving you the good life. I mean, I really would have been a good wife. But keep singing my praise, singing I'm mad to you. I'll keep my name and kicking this happen. Cause that was all in the minute I found you. And willing to crown you king. You were singing my praise, singing I'm mad you. You were singing my praise, and then you turn back. Oh baby, one left it. Don't give me that lift, give me that passion. Look at you, sick with the passion. The Crude Life is sponsored in part by.
I want to take a moment to talk about sustainable savings happening at MyPillow. Of course, when you buy a MyPillow product, it is automatically sustainable because the high quality, the innovation that goes into a MyPillow product creates a wonderful night's sleep that improves your health, that keeps you from driving to the store to buy a new pillow every year because it gets flat and flumpy. Well, check out these offers from MyPillow to give you sustainable savings. The biggest bed sheet sale in MyPillow history is happening right now, and they are as low as $29.98. That's right, the Giza Dream bed sheets are on sale right now for $29.98, as well as the My Slippers $49.98. That's a $90 savings with the promo code Otis. All kinds of savings right now at MyPillow.com with the promo code Otis. Go to MyPillow.com/radio specials or call 800-598-4268. That's 800-598-4268. And use the promo code Otis for these deep, deep discounts. And if you act right now, the MyPillow itself is as low as $19.88 with the promo code Otis. Folks, you don't want to miss these savings. Start your sustainable savings right now with MyPillow and the promo code Otis.
For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in Western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
The Crude Life is sponsored in part by...
It takes an industry to build a forest. Hey folks, Jason Spies with The Crude Life. Did you know about half the trees planted in the last 20 to 30 years have died within the first year? Lack of watering, transplant shock, special interest groups, poor growing conditions are just a few reasons it takes an industry to build a forest, and that is exactly what the industrial forest does. Sustainability sheds, critical pipeline systems are implemented to ensure the forest survives and absorbs carbon for decades to come. It takes an industry to build a forest. If you're interested in sustainable forests, growing industry jobs, check out theindustrialforest.com. That's theindustrialforest.com.
The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
There's a lot of people running their mouth that don't stay the night, never come through town. Some other people.
Welcome back to The Crude Life Morning Show. Play hard, work hard. This is Sean Forbes with OG Directory, standing in for Jason Spies. I've saved the best for last. Yep. I've been waiting 3 days to interview this gentleman, Marshall Johnson, from the Mule Deer Foundation. I've been sitting across from your booth and looking at these gorgeous pictures of wildlife. And me being from Colorado and having mule deer run around my yard,
right?
I was like, what's happening over here? But this is a really nice visual for me.
Yeah, it's one of the things I just want to promote here in North Dakota, especially at this show here, is you know, they're all familiar with the mule deer. They see them out there every day while they're working and everything. But a lot of the photos that you're seeing over there are industrial employees of the oil industry working on habitat projects that the Mule Deer Foundation has put together. A lot of it's on private land, some of it's on plots land, and a few of it's on public land too. In fact, the last big one we did was on public land. But basically, I wanted to show all the different pictures of people actually working out there and doing that habitat work and all the logos of the businesses that have been participating.
So you're a foundation.
Yes.
Which means that you probably provide education and programs for
folks?
Well,
it's predominantly what our whole thing is, a conservation of mule deer in their habitat.
Okay.
And so we, our primary function, or my function here as a regional director in the Dakotas, is to raise money to put back on the ground, because that is what we can do as humans.
Yeah.
You know, we can't control
what do you mean
the
by
weather.
That? What do you mean by that?
Well, we can't control the weather.
Right.
The weather is the number one culprit for mortality with wildlife, and you can't do anything about that. A lot of people like to point to predators, a lot of people like to point to this, to that, whatever it might be. And to be truthful, a lot of it's loss of habitat. Hmm. And that can be through agriculture, industrial, growth of cities and towns, and, you know, whatever it might be. And so what we try to do is we want to improve habitat that's already out there existing, but it might be in a fragile state, not a very good state. We're working with landowners that want to improve their habitat because their livestock. And so we can work together and improve it not only for the livestock, but also for the wildlife itself. So you're improving their productivity too, you know.
Yeah.
And so that's our primary focus is, you know, a lot of people don't realize that the mule deer are the only large North American game animal in decline. And so that's what our function is to ensure sustainability. And the only way we can really do that is by improving habitat.
And creating an environment for a healthy
right.
group of animals.
Right, right. You know, so that's what I'm here for. I've been working with the North Dakota Petroleum Council for mm-hmm. several years now. They've been a great supporter and sponsor of us and our activities. You saw some of the pictures on the wall up over there. For instance, the North Dakota Petroleum Council, they donated funds for us to buy a trailer, 14-foot tandem axle trailer that we utilize for youth. We have setups in there for archery and setups for a pellet gun to introduce youth to the different shooting activities. We also have other things, too. So we'll put on little events, little shows, you know, simple as sometimes even how to use a compass.
Hmm.
You know, that's a people losing that ability.
Right.
And we support them. We go to the Bakken Cook Fests. And we set up our little units up there. That's
will
the kids.
Will you be at the Bakken Barbecue?
We will be, yes.
Oh,
fantastic. We've done every one now for about 5 years now.
Oh, great.
And so the kids just, they love us. I mean, we're busier than hell. So we're always looking for volunteers to help us with that because
yeah.
it's we'll have kids lined up and shooting all day long.
I'll be there this year. It'll be my first year attending the barbecue, and I've heard amazing things about it.
Oh, the
and
food
just,
is really good.
You know, the things that the two ladies that organize the event do for the community, especially with the
yeah.
first responders and the education and just in the inclusiveness of it all. You
yeah.
know, it's not industry related. It's more about community.
Yeah, it is so. About the community. It's giving back to the community and having
yeah.
a little fun with it and
yeah.
taking a break.
Right.
You know, from everything going on. So. But, yeah, with the North Dakota Petroleum Council, the other thing is we've taken it a little bit further the last couple of years now. We already do a thing called Boots on the Ground. And that's where our volunteers from chapters, and they may not even be committee members in that, we'll set up a day where we're going to do some kind of habitat work, be it pulling wire, you know, fences and that, so
sure.
woven fences especially. Pulling woven fences out. We've done pipeline work. Seedings, cutting trees down, whatever needs to be done. And the reason I said cut trees down, that's probably, whoa, what are you talking about?
Well, mitigation is important.
That's North Dakota, we don't have any trees. So basically what it is we're dealing primarily with juniper and with cedar. As they have, you know, come across the tops of the buttes and slopes, coming around to the south-facing slopes, and then down onto the grasslands. And if you look under an evergreen in your yard, what grows under it?
Nothing. It's dirt.
Nothing.
Because the sun doesn't have the ability
well, it's not
to
only that,
grow.
Those trees kill everything.
Ah.
You know, they suck all the water, everything, you know, and kill everything. And so we're losing all those natural grasses
yeah.
and all that type of stuff. And they are an invasive species
hmm.
and very aggressive. And so what we're trying to do right now is we're going out, we're identifying areas where those cedars and junipers have creeped out onto the natural plains and are killing everything. And so that's one of our things, is to get rid of that, because the deer don't eat pine. Mm. Nobody eats pine.
Right.
And so that's one of the things that we're going to be doing this year specifically, is working on a few projects like that. And so the industry, some of these projects, they require heavy equipment, or just we need people to help us out there. And I'll reach out to Ron Ness and then Tessa Sandstrom and say, hey, got a project lined up. This is what we need, blah, blah, blah. And they'll send out an email. Next thing you know, I got people sending me emails saying, hey, we would like to help out. We can give you this. We can do this. We can do that. And they've done some really phenomenal work.
To listen to the full-length interview, check out the website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Interviews were sponsored in part by Train ND Northwest. It's a competitive world. Train for it. We'll be back next week at this time on this radio station. Till then, from the staff from the Crude Life Week in Review, we're asking each and every one to remember, we are all energy, and all energy has a purpose. Make it a fabulous day.
To behold, nothing you could do would make me go. We'll let the world judge what they don't know. Giving me a heartbeat, making me never
want. I want to take a moment to talk about sustainable savings happening at MyPillow. Of course, when you buy a MyPillow product, it is automatically sustainable, because the high quality, the innovation that goes into a MyPillow product creates a wonderful night's sleep that improves your health, that keeps you from driving to the store to buy a new pillow every year because it gets flat and flumpy. Well, check out these offers from MyPillow to give you sustainable savings. The biggest bed sheet sale in MyPillow history is happening right now, and they are as low as $29.98. That's right, the Giza Dream bed sheets are on sale right now for $29.98, as well as the My Slippers $49.98. That's a $90 savings with the promo code Otis. All kinds of savings right now at MyPillow.com with the promo code Otis. Go to MyPillow.com/radio specials or call 800-598-4268. That's 800-598-4268. And use the promo code Otis for these deep, deep discounts. And if you act right now, the MyPillow itself is as low as $19.88 with the promo code Otis. Folks, you don't want to miss these savings. Start your sustainable savings right now with MyPillow and the promo code Otis.
For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in Western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
The Crude Life is sponsored in part by...
It takes an industry to build a forest. Hey folks, Jason Spies with The Crude Life. Did you know about half the trees planted in the last 20 to 30 years have died within the first year? Lack of watering, transplant shock, special interest groups, poor growing conditions are just a few reasons it takes an industry to build a forest, and that is exactly what the industrial forest does. Sustainability sheds, critical pipeline systems are implemented to ensure the forest survives and absorbs carbon for decades to come. It takes an industry to build a forest. If you're interested in sustainable forests, growing industry jobs, check out theindustrialforest.com. That's theindustrialforest.com.